Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
All right. NXT 2.0 podcast time. My name is Zachary Smith. I am your host. You knew that for the NXT 2.0 podcast. Excited to be here with, well, okay, maybe not like excited wouldn't necessarily be the word, but I am here for you. Before we get started, you can always find me on Twitter. I'm at ZachNXT, at ZachNXT. You can come look at me. Talk about wrestling and other fun stuff. You can watch Mimi Burris bully me for no reason at all times because she is a hateful person. So that's fun. You can watch that. We're going to talk about NXT from this week. Before we do, we usually talk about news and notes, stuff that's going on. So WWE. Wow, nailed it, dude, right out of the gate. WWE, those are the letters, only announces two matches for King of the Ring and Queen's Crown tournaments. Couple things. Why wouldn't you just call it Queen of the Ring? The name is already built into it. You didn't need a Queen's Crown thing. You didn't need it. Also, if Xavier Woods doesn't win, what even is the point? You know? Like, what's the point? Gable Steveson, Olympic gold medalist selected by Raw in the 2021 WWE draft. He was, in fact. Gable seems like a nice dude. I feel a little bit bad for him because he's already hyped up a lot for a dude that's never had a professional wrestling match. He would literally have to be Kurt Angle to live up to that, and Kurt Angle was kind of special. Draft was weird, huh? Kind of seems like they were making it up as they went a little bit, right? I mean, who cares? As far as NXT is concerned, we've lost Hit Row, So we've lost Swerve, Ashani the Adonis, Top Dollar, and B-Fab, or Fab B, depending on who you are. And we lost Ridge Holland, which those are an interesting couple of selections. Ridge Holland kind of immediately makes sense. I can see why Vince would immediately want them. Super nervous about Hit Row. Not going to lie. Super nervous about the really cool African-American group being coached by Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard. Won't lie to you. Seems like that might not go ideal. Drew McIntyre is now on the same show as Roman Reigns, as far as I can tell. With Big E as the WWE champion now, Drew McIntyre is your best bet to beat Roman for that title. Now, you can do that. You could build up to that. I don't know if I would have Drew challenge for the WWE title at Crown Jewel, because part of the problem was that Drew kept being put in title matches and people got a little bit sick of it. But they had Drew and Roman a match at Survivor Series when they were both champions, so yeah, you can do Drew as the guy to beat Roman. I literally don't see who else it could be. And also, I need Big E and Roman to both be champions when Survivor Series comes around, because I obviously want to see that match. Please, Big E and Roman right now. I would have Big E just beat him. That'd be a good way to start off the title reign, huh? Just like beat Drew McIntyre at Crown Jewel, beat Roman Reigns, and then they're on separate brands. You don't have to do it again. That'd probably be good. Ridge Holland, really big white dude who speaks English. And those are Vince's favorite things. Ridge Holland feels like he could be something really, really good. I think if you have a brand that is now explicitly developmental, maybe keep the guy that, you know, still needs to develop, you know, in developmental. But, you know, what do I know? Ridge has been good in just about everything I've seen him do. He's limited in the ring just because he is so new, but he's got the look, he's got the it factor. The promo needs work, but he can work on that. He's got a cool accent, so that helps. Hit Row, Swerve is ready right now. Ashani the Adonis is ready right now. Top Dollar probably could have used some more development. B-Fab probably could have used some development because she's had two matches and they've both been rough because she's new, not her fault. If you're going to use her as like a manager or a mouthpiece for the foreseeable future, that's fine. Again, just really nervous about Hit Row being on the main roster, but especially when Vince and Bruce are calling shots, baby. Let's do it. Speaking of let's do it, NXT show opens. The Then Now Forever theme got tweaked again. They keep messing with it. I assume, naturally, at this point, just to mess with me, I can't think of another reason they would do it. It's MSK talking about the Grizzled Young Veterans and Carmelo Hayes and his friend, whose name I forget. Briggs and Jensen are going to join these teams for a Fatal 4-Way Tag title match in the main event. That'll be fun. To the Arena, Toxic Attraction is out first. That's Mandy Rose, Gigi Dolan, and JC Jane, which I have always known all of their names, obviously, and I was just reminding you, and if, say, for some reason, for multiple weeks, you didn't know JC Jane's name or Gigi Dolan's name, and you just kind of refused to learn it, shame on you, dude, honestly, because I've known it's Mandy Rose, Gigi Dolan, and JC Jane the whole time. So, that's really, at this point, it's on you. So, it is, in fact, Mandy Rose in a match accompanied by her friends. The camera is very interested in you knowing that these three are attractive women, which is weird, but all right, sure. They each have a separate shot that go from, like, the legs up, which is, oh, again, a weird thing in a wrestling show. But alrighty, I guess that's part of the whole thing. Whatever. Ember Moon is her opponent. Hey, remember Ember Moon? Remember when they made like a big deal about Ember Moon coming back? Former NXT Women's Champion. And like it was going to be huge. She was back and she was kind of immediately going to focus on the NXT Women's title. Remember all that? That was cool, huh? The announcers immediately talk about Ember Moon being in a rut, which will definitely help. That's a short match there, Chief. Love that Mandy Rose is doing a running knee as her finisher. Now, here's the thing. I don't know if that's intentional or not. It's probably not, but WWE overall is such a petty company that it is not far-fetched to, like, have Bryan Danielson leave and then somebody else very closely after that's using a running knee. It's just very funny headcanon to have that's why they did that. Mandy, in fact, wins with that running knee. Ember Moon looks sad outside of the ring, and then they don't mention her again. So that's good. So Ember's doing good. I'm sure she's really happy that she rehabbed so hard to come back. She should come to AEW. Cameron Grimes is being interviewed in the back. He says, love is in the air here in NXT 2.0. The indie Dexter wedding was beautiful, but expensive. People back here making out. He says, I'm a little jealous. So Grimes is on the search for a lucky lady. He is interrupted by Pete Dunne and Ridge Holland, who are not ladies, not especially lucky, do not fit either of the criteria. Pete Dunne reminds us that he is still the baddest man in NXT, even though he never shows you that. Pete Dunne's a fantastic wrestler. He's gotten a lot better as a promo. He doesn't win nearly enough to keep telling me he's the baddest man in NXT. It's going to be Pete Dunne versus Cameron Grimes tonight. Pete Dunne is, like, continually telling Cameron Grimes to look at him. Grimes ignores him the entire time because he's looking at two women who are in the back. The match is official. Cameron Grimes basically says, yeah, whatever. Walks over to the women who I don't recognize, but that doesn't mean anything. He asks if they're single. They look at each other, go, well, and they cut, which is a super weird place to cut. Also, you're on, like, TV, so if you have a significant other, that, like, if that were my girlfriend on TV, that would be concerning, I think. I'm almost sure. Von Wagner's in the back in a weird-looking locker room. Kyle O'Reilly walks up. He says, last week was the second time you've had my back, and I want to know why. Von Wagner says he took an opportunity and jumped on. He says, I respect you, Kyle. You got heart. Except Von Wagner's weird, because Von Wagner almost has a Minnesota accent, almost has a Bret Hart accent, so it's not all the way up here. He brings it down a little bit, so there's a little bit of Bret Hart in there too. So in this first segment, he kind of sounds like this, and then the accent's gone later. But he does, in fact, say that I had an opportunity and I jumped on it. I respect you, Kyle. You've got heart.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
He says, as far as trust goes, he's interrupted by Kyle. Kyle says, after the year I've had, I don't trust anybody. I appreciate it, but just let me handle my business and stay out of my way, and pats him on the shoulder. I mean, that makes sense that Kyle would have some trust issues at this juncture. I like that that story thread is still there for him and his character. I like that. Cut to the ring. Champ is out there with Goldie. He says, let's get right to it. On Tuesday, October 26th, Halloween Havoc returns to NXT. Boy, I bet that will be just so great. This entire locker room of people that have been wrestling 5-minute matches doing a network special. That's going to be something, huh? It says the champ needs an opponent. I'm well aware that this roster is full of hungry men and women. For a second, I thought he was going to challenge either a man or a woman to come out there, and that would have been a radical new direction for NXT. It says, one man in particular says he is not a patient man. It says, that's all fine and dandy, but the thing is, in this world we live in, actions speak louder than words. Question is, who has the balls to come out here and take my NXT title from me? And he's looking for somebody to come out. Nobody comes out for a second. It is, in fact, Bron Breakker that comes out. Barrett, on commentary, says that he was in the arena that they're going to be hosting WrestleMania in 2023. And he says he was thinking about who could be headlining WrestleMania in 2023. And Bron Breakker was the first name on that list. All right, listen, man. Could Bron Breakker main event a WrestleMania? Absolutely. He has the look and, like, intensity behind his eyes that his family had and Vince McMahon loves, and presumably he's a less insane person than Scott Steiner, so, like, you have an advantage there. He could. He has all of the physical tools to do so. I don't know how he is backstage, but Vince is more involved with NXT now. I think that would have come up by now. So, yeah, could he? Sure. But the dude stands out because he's like an insane person who sounds like Scott Steiner and is in fact a Steiner and it has a lot of muscles. And that will get you by right now, but like let's let him like fight Ciampa at Halloween Havoc first before we're having a main event or WrestleMania, because one, he's not like fully developed into the wrestler he's going to be yet. And two, it's WWE, so they might randomly decide mid-2022 that he's not putting his all into these bad ideas we keep giving him, so we're not going to keep him around. So, like, that could happen too. WWE does a great job of, like, trying to convince you that our season never ends, and the fans always want something new, so we're always striving to find that new thing. But they're not. Because if you are doing that, you don't have a Goldberg beat a Kevin Owens or a Fiend. You don't have Brock Lesnar return to face Roman Reigns for I don't know how many times now. You don't have part-timers returning. That's not what you do. What they want is they want somebody homegrown that they pick to get over in the exact way that they pick. So, like, every once in a while, a Daniel Bryan will come around, but they don't want that. They didn't come up with that idea. So that's why he can't be Rex Steiner. He has to be Bron Breakker. Because Vince can say, Bron Breakker. And he likes the way it sounds. And then they've had something to do with it. It's not just Rex Steiner's idea. Because God forbid we make money with somebody else's idea. The last time they let somebody become a big star that was bigger, arguably, than the company was Brock Lesnar. Before that, it was The Rock and Stone Cold. The Rock went off to Hollywood. Stone Cold took his ball and went home. Brock Lesnar wanted to go try for the NFL, went to UFC. So Vince has, like, some attachment issues and some trust issues. So, like, they don't actually want, like, a new WrestleMania main eventer because they would be just as likely to do Goldberg-Roman Reigns in 2023. Like, obviously Wade Barrett says that because they put a bug in his ear to say that, but that means nothing, dude. Braun Breaker's in the ring. He says, Ciampa, I've treated you with nothing but respect, but I do not care how long I've been here. I want to be the NXT champion. You want to fight someone with balls? I got the biggest ones in the locker room. Me and you for that. Pointing to the NXT title. Ciampa says, you know the difference between you and me? You want this NXT title. I need this NXT title. To Breaker, this title is just a stepping stone to something bigger and better. To me, this title is something bigger and is something better. Love it. Ciampa loves that title, and you can feel that. Halloween Havoc is 3 weeks away, so you have 3 weeks to go from an intern to a PhD. Challenge accepted. Braun Breaker is every white dude of this age and yells, let's go, obviously. Ciampa walks past Breaker and bumps his shoulder on the way out. Braun Breaker's a very happy man. Hey, dude, is Braun Breaker straight up going to beat Ciampa for that NXT title in 3 weeks? Because if this were old NXT, I would say that Ciampa just won that title, so I don't know that you would have put the title on Ciampa for the second time when he never lost it, only to lose with his literal first defense of that title. But this is NXT 2.0, and as much fun as I make of that, it is a completely different logic behind this show. I feel like Braun Breaker's going to straight up beat Ciampa for that NXT title, and make no mistake, Braun Breaker's a lot of fun. I like Braun Breaker a lot. He's very clearly the standout from NXT 2.0. It feels weird to have Braun Breaker as the NXT champion already, but one, I think he might be, and two, if he is, I don't know if I'm going to be that upset, although it would suck to not capitalize on the Ciampa never losing that title, finally getting it back, except for a couple passing mentions, but I'm pretty sure Braun Breaker straight up going to beat Ciampa for that title, which is interesting. They drop a lot of clues to let you know that Braun Breaker is a Steiner for a company that changed his name intentionally to not include Steiner. Pretty sure Barrett says, holla if you hear me. And, like, we all know he's Rex Steiner, but WWE can't let you just have that name. So it's weird to change his name, not include Steiner, and remind you all the time that he's a Steiner. I don't get it, man. Joe Gacy's in the back. I don't get what this is. Originally, I thought it was a Waylon Mercy thing. It's clearly not. I think this is 70-whatever-year-old Vince trying to make fun of this new generation. I don't know what it is, dude. I'm pretty sure it's a bad idea because WWE has earned that, and so I feel pretty safe in telling you that whatever it is it's bad. I, however, will tell you, Joe Gacy's doing a really good job with it. He's a little bit creepy with it. He seems genuine and not genuine at the exact same time. So Joe Gacy's doing great. He's very memorable. I don't understand what we are doing. But here we go. Joe Gacy's in the ring to fight Ikem and Jiro. Again, don't get what Joe Gacy is. Gacy wants to shake hands. They do. Jiro goes to knock Gacy down, but he doesn't. Gacy says he believes in Jiro and has him try it again. What do you know, Chief? It's another short match. Joe Gacy wins. Joe Gacy picks up Ikem and Jiro after, picks him up and hugs him, leaves the ring. Ikem and Jiro is very confused by that. Joe Gacy is walking out, and just before he notices, you see that there's one fan standing up, not facing quite the right way, clearly just staring at Joe Gacy. So Joe Gacy looks. There is, in fact, a dude in the audience staring down Gacy. Joe Gacy notices him, smiles, seems like maybe he knows him, not sure. That would be Parker Boudreaux, the guy. You probably saw him on social media. Paul Heyman shouted him out, announced he had signed with WWE. Kind of a Brock Lesnar look to him. Kind of looks like a star. Everyone was real excited. So naturally, NXT 2.0 comes around. His name's now Harland. And they had him shave his head and wear like an ill-fitting sleeveless shirt. that buttons up because you're classy, but you want your arms to breathe. I get it. Couple things. Him with his head shaved looks like something of a mix between Snitsky, King Kong Bundy, and maybe a little bit of Stone Cold in there. Some dudes look good bald. Some dudes don't look good bald. Parker Boudreaux doesn't look good bald. And that's fine because he looks good with hair. But if you're going to be on television, I would maybe have him have hair. I'm excited to see what Harland does. I bet it's going to be bad because Vince and Bruce are coming up with ideas back there. But I think Parker Boudreaux is very talented and he could do something. I'm also interested as to whether Joe Gacy knows him. He doesn't mention him when he shows up later. He just clearly seems to recognize him. And then his persona kicks back in and he just smiles. So I don't know what that was. I'm probably giving him too much credit. I don't know. So Ciampa calls Bron Breakker in the back of Blue Chip, says this is going to be special. He's interrupted by Gacy. He says that Ciampa has toxic energy. He wants to be added to the title match. Ciampa says, you beat me next week. We can add you to the main event of Halloween Havoc. Gacy smiles. He goes to hug Ciampa. Ciampa stops him. He says, next week, nailed it. That ring ain't a safe space for you. Freaking got him, dude. Got him. That's the thing he says, dude. No, like, listen, that's the thing he says usually, is that the ring's a safe space. And I swear to God, dude, I straight up said, it's not your safe space, dog. No, frickin', I got him, dude. So that's weird. Feels like Harland would interrupt that match to cost Joe Gacy. Not sure how Joe Gacy would feel about that. Probably happy and try to hug him. I don't know. But that'll be an interesting match next week, I suppose. Raquel Gonzalez arriving to the building. She's very late. That's unprofessional. Cut to the ring. Pete Dunne's in there with Ridge Holland for almost the last time, I imagine. They do mention that Ridge Holland got drafted to the main roster. Sincerely, very good luck to Ridge Holland. He has the look and some of the bona fides in the ring because he's very like physical. He has those things going for them, and I hope that a 70-something-year-old man doesn't get bored of him for no reason, because that's happened too. It's a roll of the dice. So, Pete Dunne's in the ring. Cameron Grimes comes out. Cameron Grimes' theme is a banger and a half, and I know I've said that before, but I haven't said it in a while, so I just wanted to bring that back up. So this match again, it was longer, but it was still short. Like, if this were like an old NXT episode, this would have been a short match. Kyle O'Reilly comes out to attack Ridge Holland. He gets thrown over the announce table by Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne in the ring hits the bitter end and wins. Imagine that. Pete Dunne wins. Kyle O'Reilly comes in the ring. He's still trying to fight these two men as one man. They obviously take over, beat the crap out of him. Von Wagner did not come out to help, but during the commercial break, Von Wagner, in fact, did come out to help Kyle O'Reilly out of the ring. Kyle seems hesitant with it. Back from a commercial break again. Finishing his entrance is Malik Blade, which is this grown adult man's name, who's now in the ring to fight the debuting Tony D'Angelo. I forgot he was going to be on this show. This is so ridiculous that the fans love him already. The cool part here, Tony does try to bribe the referee. He hands them some money. I think the ref threw it out the ring. That was stupid. That was fantastic. I don't know why these fans love Tony so much already. Like, all we've seen of him are these video vignette whatevers. And I guess what happened was, like, it was like, oh, this is so borderline racially and so weird and cookie cutter that it's actually pretty funny. And then he showed up and the fans love, they are chanting, let's go, Tony, let's go. They are chanting Tony's name. You would think that Tony is a returning superstar from, like, the main roster. Like, if Seth Rollins returned, like, this would be like the ovation that he would get. Tony hits a like a Northern Lights suplex and then like a pinning neck breaker for the win. So Tony D'Angelo wins. That's I hear you asking. I am going to do that voice for the entirety of the time I talk about Tony D'Angelo. I understand it's not very good. That is not the point, and I will hear no differing opinions about it. Also, I keep hearing people say Tony D'Angelo rather than D'Angelo or D'Angelo. It's D'Angelo. That sounds way better. Tony D'Angelo, not Tony D'Angelo. That's weird. It's Tony D'Angelo. I don't know if that's right, but it's the better version of the name. Malcolm Bivens video promo. He's going over the accomplishments of all the members of the Diamond Mind, and I don't care. I'm going to be honest. I forgot the woman's name they just added to the group. She's in the Brock Lesnar Hall of Fame, Bobby Lashley Hall of Fame of voices that don't match the physical specimen that that person is. Super intimidating physically, voice of a very nice person. So she's got that to deal with. He goes over the accomplishments like for a minute for each person. And then for Roderick Strong just says he's the backbone of Diamond Mind. He's the heart of Diamond Mind. This is Roderick Strong, which I thought was funny. Also, maybe don't use a bunch of clips of him in the Undisputed Era, because that's probably a sore subject for him. I'd be upset. So that's Diamond Mind. We have the Cruiserweight title. Respect us. Raquel's in the ring. Nice of her to join us, dude. Toxic Attraction interrupts her. I'm being honest, I skipped because it wasn't going great. Toxic Attraction is doing that thing where they're on each part of the ring apron. They're about to beat up Raquel, but Io Shirai and her tag team partner have Raquel's back. They slide into the ring. Toxic Attraction backs off Zoe Stark. Zoe Stark is her tag team partner's name. I got it. They went from telling me Zoe Stark was the next big thing to mentioning her name so infrequently that I legitimately forgot it. But I'm glad Io Shirai is still around, because this tag team needs to keep going. So I assume then we would get Mandy Rose and Raquel Gonzalez for the women's title at Halloween Havoc. Go ahead, put it on Mandy Rose. I don't care. Toxic Attraction's fun. With Gigi Dolin and JC Jane, those two people whose names I've always known. That'd be fun. Raquel's kind of boring as a champion. Not going to lie to you, she didn't have a ton to do. Put it on Mandy, I don't care. Go for it. So, Kyle O'Reilly's now in the back. Von Wagner walks up. This is where he lost the accent, which confused me. But I was like, I can do a Bret Hart / Minnesota, so I'm going to do it. But he lost it. Vaughn says, next week it's you and me versus Ridge and Pete. He says, whether you like it or not, I'm the only one that has your back right now. Slaps Kyle on the shoulder the same way Kyle did. Important note, on his other shoulder, Kyle O'Reilly has an ice bag that is so big for his other shoulder, you could fill an entire thing of Gatorade to Gatorade bath a winning coach in a football game. Don't know why there was so much ice. Seems wasteful. Also seems like the kind of thing I couldn't just let happen without mentioning. The main event of this show is starting, and there are 12 minutes left in this show. What are we doing, dude? Why did you show me two or three Von Wagners, or that Diamond Mine thing, or that Raquel Gonzalez thing that didn't need to be that long, or the promo for Pete Dunne versus Cameron Grimes, if you were going to give me 12 minutes for this really fun match? So it's been turned into an elimination tag, which is my favorite version of a multiple person match, is when they make it elimination. Briggs and Jensen are left with MSK. They're dominating, but then Wes Lee wins with like a Hurricane Rana roll up. Briggs and Jensen are mad. They take the belts from the ref. They eventually calm down, hand MSK the belts, and walk off. And then Imperium attacks MSK, so these dudes are still around. That's good. Briggs and Jensen run them off. They take their time doing that. They let MSK get beat up first. The crowd is chanting, "Thank you, Imperium," which is an interesting reaction to your good guy champions being beat up by your bad guy, presumably challengers. But all right, I get it. I'm not necessarily feeling MSK all the time either. But fine. So we'll get MSK, Imperium at Halloween Havoc, Raquel Gonzalez, Mandy Rose at Halloween Havoc, Ciampa and Bron Breakker at Halloween Havoc. Interesting, interesting card. You got enough really good wrestlers on there to maybe make it good. I bet it won't be as good as TakeOvers used to be, because that's not the point anymore. But who cares? I mean, dude, go watch AEW. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. We're over here, dude. We're developing the future, dude. So, like, Mimi can have, like, whatever her main eventer is right now, dude. I'm thinking 2023 and beyond. So, like, that's what this is, dude. I don't know, man. We're here, dude. I'm fine. I'm doing great, dude. My show's good and valuable and means something, and I'm happy with it. That is about it. One more time, you can follow me on Twitter at ZachNXT, at ZachNXT. You can help me when Mimi bullies me, because again, she's so hateful and I don't understand why. I just try to be her friend. But that's it for NXT, so that's it for me. I have been Zachary Smith. You have been fantastic, as always, and thank you for listening.